Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
We have been going through a Holy Spirit series. How incredible has this series been? It's been encouraging yet challenging for me, but I have loved it. And today it's week four and I am wrapping it up. Best to last. Here I am. So we've looked at, over the last 3 weeks, we've looked at a few things, and I'll just recap them for you this morning. One of them was the Holy Spirit is God, and how God chooses to manifest himself to us today. And he's essential, not optional. He's not that added fries at the end. He's essential. We need to be infilled with the Holy Spirit so we are led by him and have victory in our lives over sin. He gives us power. He is the power of God, and he's the power to help us overcome in our lives. And a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit will be evidenced by the fruit it produces. Who knows that? He produces the fruit, not us. If a tree is healthy, it will produce fruit. Who knows that today? And if you missed any of these messages, please jump on our website and download our podcast. I encourage you to do that. It's always good. Even if you've heard them, you were here for them, it's always good to jump on and have another listen, because you'll just pick up some other keys that maybe you missed in the message. Encourage you to do that. Who here has heard of Secret Santa? Hands up. Yep. All right. For those who haven't, it is when a group of people come together, generally at Christmas time, and it's mostly a big group of people, and you exchange gifts. Maybe it's in the office or a big group of friends, or if you've got a big family, maybe you'll do that, or in a life group, and you agree on a value, like a limit, and maybe it's $5, $10, $500, $1,000. It depends on the groups that you are in. And you agree on a value, and you go out and you buy a present to that value. And then you come all together, you put your present in the pile, and then you start opening your gifts. And then one at a time, people go and they select their gift, and they open it up. And then it's your turn, and you open up your gift, and you get a Christmas gnome. Or those Christmas earrings with green pom-poms and sparkles. And you're like, oh, it's just what I wanted. Yay. No. And then you wish that you've got that cool present that the person next to you has. Yeah? We all know. And right now, all of you are thinking about some of the dodgy gifts that you've got in the past. It's true? Well, there's another version of this game, and I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's called Dirty Santa. Anyone heard of it? It's a bit of a strange name, but anyway. Dirty Santa. And you can actually do that. You can take someone's gift that they've already opened and received and take it for yourself. So instead of going to open a gift that's closed, you go up and say, actually, I like Rick, I like your present there, I'll take that, and it's yours. So, you know, we often do this in our workplace at work, because there's a lot of us, we do Dirty Santa. And last year, I remember I took someone else's present. So that's what the pastor does. Go take someone else's present. It was a gumball machine. I wanted a gumball machine, okay? I always wanted one, never had one. So at the age of, I won't say, I was going to steal it. So I did that. I took that gift, and then someone came and stole my gift. They took my gumball machine, and guess what I ended up with? An electric toothbrush. The irony. Gumball machine, electric toothbrush. Anyway. We might laugh at this story, but, you know, a lot of us go through life just like this. True? We look at other people and we want what they have. Yeah? Hopefully you're not stealing it, but anyway, we're wanting what they have. You know, we want the clothes they wear. We maybe want their lifestyle. Maybe we want their job or the role that they're in. Maybe we wish we had their brains, you know, their smarts. Maybe we wish we had their outgoing personality. Or maybe we want their perfectly behaved kids. I'll take that. If there was a Dirty Santa game for that. I've got kids at the back telling me they're perfect. That's not happening. You know, and the list goes on. You can think about it. The things that we think of that we want. Yeah, the list keeps going on and on. And then we come to church And we discover it's the same here. Let's be real here today. It's the same, yeah? These gifts that people have, we wish we could take them for ourselves. I want that. I want what that person's got. What am I talking about? So last week, Pastor Bronson spoke about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We all remember that. And he said that the Holy Spirit produces the fruit in our lives, but he also does something else. He is the giver of gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to get gifts, yeah? And these are gifts with nothing attached. It's awesome. So we call these the gifts of the Holy Spirit, yeah? And every believer, whether we believe it or not, has been given a spiritual gift. And our spiritual gifts are needed by the church and by those around us. Yeah? They're needed by everyone. So let's have a look in Romans 12, 6 to 8, what it says about these spiritual gifts. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And again, in 1 Corinthians, it says in 12, 7 to 11, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. There's a lot of gifts up there. I'm sure there's something you have up there. So prophecy, serving others, teaching, encouraging, leadership, showing kindness, wise advice, special knowledge, faith, gift of healing, performing miracles, discernment, unknown languages, interpretations. All these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we fall into the trap and we wish we had the power gifts. Do you know what the power gifts are? The power gifts, prophecy, you know, the ability to predict what is going to happen. Do you know, special knowledge, supernaturally received knowledge about scripture or about people, something that's happening in their lives that you are supernaturally given information about. The gift of healing or performing miracles. You know, the gifts that make you the platform superstar. We all know the power gifts, yeah? Let's be real. We know that sometimes we go, oh, I wish I had that, yeah? I wish I had that gift, that platform gift. But what we need to understand and appreciate is that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're just that. They're gifts to us. They're gifts to you. It's not better than the other or more important than the other. The gifts. See, the Holy Spirit gifts, they're not medals that I put like this. I don't walk into church on a Sunday and attach it to my jacket. And I walk in and I go, here I am, here's my gift. Look, it's prophecy. You know, or whatever it is. You know, they're not rewards. We haven't done anything for them. We have done nothing, yeah? They're not earned. I didn't go out and work for it. And I certainly don't deserve it, yeah? We don't deserve them. They're gifts. We can think that some spiritual gifts are more important than others, but they're not, yeah? They're not. They're all the same. So maybe your spiritual gift is showing kindness. And you think, well, yeah, okay, that's awesome. Man, that's pretty second, you know, that's pretty second to prophecy. I really want something else. But if it's wrong, Because who knows that the world needs so much kindness today? Who knows that the Holy Spirit knew that this world would come to a place where this needed to be a spiritual gift? Because the world needs kindness. So it's important. So let's have a look at what Scripture says about how we all have an important part to play in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says, "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." So it's likening us to a body, a physical body, yeah? Could you imagine I was all hands standing up here today? I wouldn't be standing because hands don't stand. So it would just be all hands or all mouths. Husbands, could you imagine your wife being all mouths? Like, that's the picture. Rick's got his hand on his head just thinking about it. So if you think about that body function, all the parts are necessary. Yeah, every single part. The body needs all its parts to function properly. And the church needs everyone's spiritual gifts to function properly as well. It's just the same. Do you know, I played netball for many years, about 8 years outside of school. I played netball in school and then 8 years outside of school. And I would always play the centre position, right in the middle. So I like to be, no, I'm just kidding. Centre position. It was because I was fast. I was fast and I could get around the court quickly. I'm not that fast today when I'm chasing the kids, but I used to be fast. Do you know, and the only reason I played centre because I couldn't shoot, I was hopeless. You put me next to a ring, I would go anywhere apart from that hoop. You asked me to defend, all I would do was poke their faces, my finger. I was really bad and I used to get caught obstruction all the time. So I just run around, Gabby, go and run. And that's what I did, I used to run around. You know, we were a great team, in honesty, we were a great team. We won lots of premierships. But there were no heroes in the team because we all played our part. All our skills together made us pretty much an unbeatable team. And we were. And funnily enough, our team was called the Unbeatables. And we were an unbeatable team. So being goal attacked, it wasn't any greater than being the wing defence. If you know what I'm talking about today, these are the positions on a netball court. Being centre wasn't any less than the goalkeeper who was stopping those goals going in the ring. To be complete, we needed all of the 7 players on the court. Because each position had its designated place and function on that court. Yes? So me as a centre, I couldn't go in the goal ring. So if there was no goalie, we would not be able to score. So we all have to stay in our lines and in our spot. Yeah? We all needed to have our function. And you know, it's the same in the church. No gift is any less and no gift is any greater than another. So we can't allow our pride to think that what we have is better, because sometimes we really do. We do. We think, oh, look at me. Look what I've got. I've got the gift to sing. I don't have a gift to sing. I'm just using that as an example. I'm so much better than that person who is serving over there. They got the gift of serving. Yeah, it's not that at all. And sometimes we are downcast and disappointed because we think the gift that we have is less than someone else. And that's a really sad place because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, yeah? If the Holy Spirit gave them to you, they're important. Do you believe that? If He gave them to you, they're important. And what I want to encourage us today, don't despise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whatever He has given to you, He's given to you for a purpose, yeah? If we look from human eyes, we look at each other and we say, our gifts, they separate us because we're different. Do you know, we look at something in the natural, when something's different, you generally go, oh, it's different, so maybe there's a bit of separation. But if we look through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, it's our differing gifts that actually brings us together and unites us. Because we are forced to depend on each other. As only together, like the body, as only together are we complete, when all of our gifts come together. All the needs of the church cannot be met unless the body, the church, is functioning. Yeah? How exciting. In 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." Do you know, some biblical scholars think that about 10 to 15 years earlier than this, when this was written, there was a prophecy earlier of... I'll start again. So, 10 to 15 years earlier, at the time of Timothy's ordination, yeah, there was a prophecy for him about his spiritual gifting in leadership and teaching. Yeah. And in this scripture, Paul is encouraging Timothy. He's telling him, don't neglect the gifts that were given to you at that time of teaching and leadership. Don't forget them and use them to encourage other believers, to help them build their faith. He's saying, don't forget what you got then. Remember to use them. But the reason is because if he just kept them, he's not doing anything with it. The reason we have a gift is not to possess it, but to use it. We need to use it. So he's encouraging, you got that. Don't just keep it inside. Something needs to happen with that gift. Yeah? It reminds me of when I was a child and we would go to my grandparents' house. And my grandparents had a really big, large, double-story house. So I have an Italian background, so this will give you a bit of context as to where I'm going today. And us kids were not allowed upstairs, okay? So big square house, brown brick, kids downstairs, everyone downstairs really, not allowed upstairs. It was a sacred area, okay? Only my grandparents lived in this huge house, massive house of 6 bedrooms upstairs, but you weren't allowed up there because you weren't allowed to use it, okay? So of course, while the parents were talking, us kids would always sneak upstairs, quietly tiptoe up the floral carpet, I remember, up the stairs, and we'd go into the front of the house was this lounge room, okay? Now, it was an incredible lounge room, to be honest. It's ugly when I think of it, but it was incredible for those days, yeah? But there was this couch, this tan leather couch. If I had it now, it's a good-looking couch. It was ugly then for me. It's really nice, brand-new leather couch. Fluffy pillows, a beautiful rug, side tables, marble ashtrays. Don't even have ashtrays today, but, you know, the thick marble ashtrays that if you fell on, you'd break your foot or smash your head open. There were lamps on the table, little crystal ornaments everywhere. And then there was this ugly monkey that I remember, an ugly toy monkey with metal symbols on its hands, and it also had a medical kit on it, like a stethoscope. Anyway, it's just weird. It was like a musical doctor monkey. But we weren't allowed to touch it. It was like there was also toys in there, but we weren't allowed to touch them. This is the room that no one was allowed to go in. You're allowed to not even look. You know, you say look but don't touch. Not even allowed there. So this was purely a possession to my grandparents, not to be used at all and not even to be looked at. And if we're not careful, church, that's how we can treat the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We lock them away. We hide them. We waste them. We keep them unused, yeah? Oh, don't go in there because that's a special place. Well, when's the special place get open? When does this get to be used? And that's what we do, we waste them. If you have it, use it. If you buy a car, you buy it to drive. You buy it to drive the car. If you've got a sports car, you drive it to open the roof so your hair can get messed up and your head gets suntanned if you got no hair, whatever it is. That's what you buy it for. The more you use something, the more practiced you become in using it. The more practiced. I remember when I first learned to cook, I would watch my mum cook. Well, actually, my dad used to force me to watch my mum to cook. If I ever complained that I was bored, my dad would say, go to the kitchen, sit on the bench and watch your mum cook. I learned very quickly, don't say I was ever bored. So I would watch my mum cook the food. I would watch her measure. You know, well, she wouldn't measure, but she would tell me, this is the measurement for this. I'd watch the order that she would put it in. I would watch the ingredients, and I'd write it all down. Because I know that when I wanted to cook that, I wanted it to look and taste the same. Yeah? Who knows, though, when your mum cooks, it never tastes the same when you cook it. It's just a thing. You never get it the same. And then there's, apart from all the food, there's the timing. Okay, if you're in my house, you didn't just have a plate of schnitzel. There was schnitzel, there was vegetables, then there was the salad, then there was the pasta, then there was the dessert. But you had to work on it all at the same time because it all had to be ready at the same time. You can't have the schnitzel and say, yep, let's eat that now, we'll cook the vegetables. There's a timing, yeah? But as time went on and I became more confident, I didn't need the measuring, I didn't need the recipe, I didn't need to know the order. And then it became, oh, you know what? I don't want that ingredient. I don't like that. I'm going to swap it for something else. Actually, no, I don't like that either. I'm going to change this. I'm going to add a bit of this. No need for recipes. All in here. Yeah? Where now I can cook a multi-course meal and not even think about it. Not be concerned about timing, not worried about recipes, unless I'm cooking something for the first time. But you just know because I practiced it. Yeah? I used it. Same as our spiritual gifts. So for instance, if you have the spiritual gift in encouraging others, find a way to encourage people. It's not hard. You look beautiful today. You know, yes, Zoe, you do. You look beautiful today. You're doing a great job walking behind someone. You're doing a great job. You know, gee, I love how you parent your kids. You know, just little things like that. You know, you're such a great host. I love the way you make my coffee. Not too strong, just right. Not too hot. I love listening to you sing. Just little things, yeah? Look for the positive in people's lives and encourage them. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. And on top of that, as you do it, it becomes who you are. It just doesn't become something you do. It becomes who you are. And that's really important. So why have we been given spiritual gifts? We sometimes get confused and we say, well, why do I have these gifts? Or I don't even know what they are. We think they're for us personally. And we think, oh, it makes me feel good. It's meant to make me look good. It's going to make God happy. But let's have a look why we actually have spiritual gifts. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. The reason the Holy Spirit has given you gifts is so you can use them to serve others. Serve others to help you express your faith, and by you expressing your faith, strengthening the faith of others around us, and ultimately it's to build the church. Yeah? To build the church. If the keys could come. Have a look at what Paul says in Romans 1. 1:11-12 says, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. When Paul talks about bringing a spiritual gift, he's not talking about imparting a spiritual gift upon the Romans. Instead, he's giving them the benefit of one of his gifts, yeah? And here's the important thing to focus on, to strengthen and help them grow in their faith in the Lord. That's why he's bringing them and letting them benefit from his spiritual gift. See, Paul is going to use his spiritual gifts to build up their faith, to build the church, but then this is the other part. And he says their gift is going to encourage him, build up his faith. So as we use our gifts to encourage others, they encourage us back. This is the need for the church to be the body. It's a full, we need each other, yeah, to complete what God is trying to do. Our spiritual gifts grow the church's faith in God. That's what they're there for. They're not for us to look good. They're not for us to wear them as medals. They are to grow the church's faith in God. Rick Warren, gosh, I'm twisting everything this morning. Rick Warren says, your spiritual gifts were not given for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Just as other people were given gifts for your benefit. So when I use my spiritual gifts, I'm benefiting those around me. When you use your spiritual gifts, you're benefiting those around you. We're better together. It sounds corny, but it's true. We're better together as a complete unit. So maybe today you're asking the question, what is my spiritual gift? I have no idea. What's my spiritual gift? And probably a few of us or a lot of us are actually asking the same question because we don't know. We don't know what spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit has given us. But I want to clear something up first. Every person has a set of talents and abilities. Yeah? Everyone has them that have been given to them by God. Okay? These gifts are not necessarily spiritual gifts. They're talents and abilities that God has given you. You may have a gift to communicate and you use that gift in your workplace to communicate. You may use that in your sporting club or your parents' group. You're able to motivate people to causes. You can talk to anyone. That is a great gift. That's a gift, yeah? But now, if you take that and you use it to serve God or in the church to build up someone's faith, yeah, and bring them to Jesus, that's now a spiritual gift. So your natural that God has given you, applying it in the church becomes your spiritual gift, yeah? Doesn't have to be more complex than that, and we make it more complex. So the Holy Spirit can use someone's talent for organizing. You might be really good at organizing things, to exercise the spiritual gift of administration. Yeah, that's one of the spiritual gifts, which is to organize, direct, and implement plans and lead ministry things in the church. Or he could use someone's talent to sing as the gift of evangelism, because it is communicating the gospel of Jesus to others through music. We just need to look at things a little bit differently, yeah? We look and we go, I've got nothing. Well, you know what? You have lots. We just need to apply the right thing to it, yeah? Look at it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, our spiritual gifts are often an extension of our natural gifts, talents, and abilities. The Holy Spirit will take those existing talents and gifts and empower us to accomplish His purposes, making them spiritual gifts. Pastor Bronson spoke about the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Do you not think He can take something that is inside you and turn it to accomplish what He needs? Do we not think that? Do you know, if God sent His Son to die for you, do you not think something little in your heart He can move and make it work for the purposes? Just like kindness, you look and go, that's rubbish. The world needs kindness. The Holy Spirit knew that this is what the world would need at some stage. He is the power of God. And whatever it is in your life, He can use it mightily to accomplish what He wants. So let me give you a simple way or some advice on how to identify your spiritual gift. First thing is, do not get caught up in labeling your spiritual gift. Don't get caught up in the label of what it is. Who cares, really? Don't worry about it. Whether you can point to prophecy or you can point to teaching, you can point to word of knowledge, mercy, administration, and you know, that's my gift, who cares? In honesty, it doesn't matter. The label does not really matter. The way to think of it is to remember that the reason we have spiritual gifts is so that we can strengthen other people's faith. It's to strengthen someone else's faith. If you see someone whose faith needs strengthening and you do something or you say something that strengthens their faith and brings them to God, you have discovered one of your gifts. It's that simple, church. If you are part of bringing someone, speaking into someone's life, and as a result, it brings them to God or strengthens their faith, that could be your spiritual gift. That's part of it. In this approach, we learn something valuable. It's good to discover your spiritual gifts. It's better to have a heart that wants to strengthen other people's faith in God. It's amazing that we can say what our gift is, but the heart, it's about the heart. That's what it's about. At the end of the day, pointing people to Jesus, increasing their faith in God, helping their Christian walk, as you do that and watch their, and then you watch their faith grow, that's what it's about. And you know what? When that happens, your faith grows. Your faith grows. It's because it talks about, it's all about serving others, and you say, well, what the heck is the gift for me for? Because when you see other people achieving, reaching their potential, walking in the promises that God has for them, walking in the things that God has declared over their life, the faith of who you serve, you see the plans out, you know, outworking, your faith grows. Then you realize the God I serve is amazing. Yeah, your faith grows. And maybe your prayer could be, if you don't know, maybe it's just, Holy Spirit, when I'm speaking to people, give me that opportunity to strengthen their faith. You know, give me the opportunity to speak about you. Help me to discover my gifts, Holy Spirit, as I'm speaking to people or doing my day-to-day life. Maybe that has to be your prayer today. Something else we need to be aware of. We don't need to stay focused within our spiritual gifting. If I am a prophet and I see things around me, it doesn't mean that I can't work in another gifting. I am just not called to be a prophet. Yeah, I am called to serve others. That's what I'm called to do. So we don't use our spiritual gifts as an excuse not to serve God. Yeah, in areas that are outside of what we are gifted in. We can't use it as an excuse. See, the Holy Spirit is actually able to give us special dispensation of a spiritual gift. Yeah? When we need it. When we need it. He can temporarily or permanently equip you with whatever spiritual gift we need. But we have to believe that today. Because he is the power of God. There are times he will empower you in giftings outside of your gift. If you need a spiritual hammer, he's going to give you a spiritual hammer. Yeah, he's not going to come and give you a feather. Here you go, tickle someone. He's going to give you a hammer. If you need a spiritual saw, he's going to come and he's going to give you a spiritual saw. I don't think we quite grasp it today. He is the power of God. When the Holy Spirit wants something done, he's going to do it. And whatever spiritual gift you need at that time, it'll be in your tool belt. I can tell you now, you don't have to put on your tool belt and put everything in there because it's not about that. You will be equipped with whatever you need whenever you need it, because that is the God we serve. And that is the Holy Spirit. He comes into situations with power. With power. Because I can tell you right now, there is no way that the Holy Spirit will leave you hanging when there is someone who is about to turn to Jesus, or there is someone's situation that needs to know about him, or there is someone whose hope is gone. He is not going to leave you there with nothing. He knows this is too great. He will equip you with whatever you need. And I just want to remind us here today, when we feel we are ill-equipped, when we feel we don't have what it takes, that's the prayer. Holy Spirit, whatever it is I need, whatever the tool I need it right now, and you will have it in your hands because he is the power of God. I want to leave you with some encouragement today. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So today, fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit, what he has given you. You don't know what it is? Just do something to serve someone. That's all you have to do. building someone's faith, build someone's, you know, hope in Jesus. That's all you have to do. Build the church. And in that moment, when we obediently come, the Holy Spirit will empower you at that moment. And He will give you whatever gift you need. He'll give you whatever gift you need. I'm so excited this morning. I look at my kids and sometimes it's, oh, I can't do this, Mum, I can't do that. I'm so excited that in the house of God, it's not about what I can and what I can't do. It's what the Holy Spirit can do and it's what God can do in me. And that's the encouragement for you here today. If you feel, I don't know, you feel downcast, you feel disappointed with the things that are happening in your life or maybe that you feel you can't give, I'm saying here today, that's a lie. That's a lie for you today. And I want to encourage you, every one of you as a believer has a spiritual gift. Every single one of you. And today, fan into flame whatever that gift is. You don't have to be up on the platform. You don't have to have people clapping at you when you speak. You need to serve others and build the church, build their faith, and then God will say, well done, good and faithful servant, because that is what I called you to do. Just want to encourage you today. So why don't we just pray this morning?